Anybody has any hurts, habits, or hang-ups? Would you raise your hand? We all do, don't we? And celebrate recovery. Every Monday evening, 5:30, our meal, 6:15, our large worship, and then our small groups follow. If you're part of a Sunday school class or a small group and you'd like to help by providing a meal once every couple of months, just see Joy or Marty or myself, and we'll be glad to get you signed up for that. We're in our second week of a series on Toward Jerusalem. We're going to spend the next few weeks as we head toward Easter talking about how Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem. We're in the 10th chapter of Luke today. If you'd like to turn there, we're going to read verse 25 through 37. Today we're going to talk about mercy on that road. Say amen if you need a lot of mercy. I need a whole lot of grace and a whole lot of mercy. And Jesus set his face like flint to go to Jerusalem so that he could provide mercy for us and give us help in our time of need. We're going to begin reading. Verse 25 says there was an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Who do you think is going to win this test today? Or who do you think is going to pass the test? It's going to be Jesus every time. So let's listen to what the Spirit says to us today from Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 37. And I invite you to stand if you're willing and able as we honor the reading of God's holy word. Verse 25, Luke 10. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbors yourself. You've answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you'll live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, went away, leaving him half dead. Verse 31, a priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, pass by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law, verse 37 tells us, replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Lord, give us ears to hear today and hearts that are ready to receive your word. May we be the good soil today. May we be ready and willing, and may you take the written word and let it become the living word and change us from the inside out. And permit me to preach, Lord. Hide me behind the cross. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. In this passage, we see three different natures, or we could say three different attitudes. One nature or one attitude would be the robbers. Their attitude was basically, what's yours is mine, I'm going to take it. And they did. We live in a fallen world, don't we? And we still have that kind of attitude or that fallen nature around us. There are going to be those that's just in it for what they can get, and they'll get as much as they can. That's one way that we can choose to live life. Second attitude is, what's mine is mine, and I'm going to keep it. There are too many people, I would say too many people in churches all across America today who are living by that attitude. What's mine is mine and I'm going to keep it. I heard a story about a grandpa and grandma who went to visit their kids. And the grandpa took a nap after lunch every day. And the grandkids said, we're going to play a joke on grandpa. So they took some Limburger cheese and went in and spread it on his mustache while he was sleeping. And when he woke up, he said, this room stinks. And he walked into the kitchen and he said, the kitchen stinks. And then he walked out on the porch and he said, the porch stinks. And he walked out in the backyard and he said, hey, the whole world stinks. There are too many people live with that kind of fallen attitude that there's something wrong with everything. We can choose to live like that. We can have a nature that's not redeemed by Christ, and we can choose to say, I'm going to take everything I can from everybody I can, and I'm going to keep what's mine, and I'm not going to share with anybody. Or the third attitude we see here, the Samaritan, we call him the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan said, what's mine is ours, and we'll share it together. And that's the attitude that Christ wants us to have. What's mine is, it's been given to me. Psalms 24 verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all the people, we're the Lord's. And we need to have an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of stewardship, that what we own is really not ours. It's just on loan from God. And so therefore, we're to live with our hands open, aren't we, to serve him. Two young salespersons were sent to an island to sell shoes. And when they got down there, they realized that nobody wore shoes. So one of the young men immediately called his home office in Chicago and said, I'm getting a plane out of here tomorrow because nobody wears shoes. The second one looked around and said, hey, nobody's wearing shoes. Send me 10,000 pairs. That's a difference in attitude, isn't it? And God wants us to look up today a little higher. Always look up a little higher and realize that our God's in control, isn't he? He's our provider. He's Jehovah Jireh. And whatever we need, he's here to help us today. So let's choose the right attitude. Let's choose to let God redeem our nature like the Good Samaritan. We see four interesting characteristics in the Good Samaritan. Number one, he looked at his situation and he changed his schedule. The priest wouldn't, the Levite didn't, but this Samaritan, the scripture doesn't tell us if he was coming down from Jerusalem to Jericho or if he was going up from Jericho to Jerusalem, but he saw the man who was half beaten to death, crippled, lying in the ditch. He changed his schedule. The priest was too busy, I guess. The Levite, the worship director of the temple, was too busy maybe. They had things they had to do. May God help us today. If you don't get anything else out of God's word today, don't let what's most important be ruled out by what's urgent in your life today. Too many times the things that we think are urgent, we jump into and we forget what's really important. He reassessed his sociology also, the Samaritan. Not only was he willing to change his schedule, the Jews hated the Samaritans. The Jews said that the Samaritans were just fuels for the fires of hell. They were half-breeds. The Jews didn't like the Samaritans not one bit. You realize that the Jews would go around Samaria, don't you? You know that from Scripture. The Jews would go around Samaria so they wouldn't have to go through Samaria to deal with the Samaritans. But here is this Samaritan who saw this Jewish man beaten and half dead in the ditch. Oh, how we need to change our sociology, don't we? Park Avenue United Methodist Church in St. Paul, Minnesota. Phil Heinerman, when he was the pastor there. Large church. And they were having about 50% white and about 50% black in worship. And somebody asked him, how do you do it? He said, how do we do it? He said, we're just getting people saved. That's the answer, isn't it? When we're new in Christ, then all things are passed away. All things become new, praise God, to the glory of God. We need to be willing to change our schedule and get out and do what God calls us to do. Wherever you see God moving, wherever you see God working, you need to go there. You need to do what God asks you to do. And then we need to look at everybody as children of God. It doesn't matter if they're from the wrong side of the track or the right side of the track, if they're up and out or down and out. Everybody needs Jesus. And the third thing we see here in this passage, look with me in verse 34 and 35. He rendered his service. He served. He went to the man. He didn't just pray for him. He didn't just say, well, I hope he has a good day. I hope things turn out better for you. I'll be praying. I'll be remembering you. No, he went to him and he got down off of his donkey and he took his oil and wine and he ministered to him. He helped him. He bandaged him up and he put him on his own donkey and he led the donkey to the closest inn. And he stayed with him the night. Did you pick that up when we read that scripture? Because it said on the next day, he gave the innkeeper enough money to take care of his needs until he was going to be coming back that way again. How we need to serve the Lord and do whatever he asks us to do. One more thing about the Good Samaritan. He released his silver. He gave his money. Jimmy, this microphone is popping in both services, isn't it? I had a conversation with Jimmy right before the service. Gave us money. How can we claim to be right with God and rob from God? This is not a sermon on stewardship or on giving, but it would be a good one, wouldn't it? We need to be willing to adjust our schedule. We need to be willing to think differently about human beings and look with the eyes of Christ. We need to be willing to serve all the time, and we need to be willing to give as God has given to us. So that we can, as a church, we can be the church and meet the needs of everyone around us. Because Jesus, I believe this. I've been preaching for 34 years. If God calls us to do something, he will give us the grace. He will give us the means to do it. If it's what Jesus is asking us to do, and we're clear on that. We can see from Scripture. We can see from God's Spirit speaking to us. We can see from our groups that meet together. This is the direction God is leading us on. God will provide the sources, the funds. We just have to follow him fully. So we can learn a lesson from the Good Samaritan, can't we? But I want you to hear this morning, all of those things I've mentioned, that's not the main reason this parable was given to us. So that we can help somebody who's in the ditch. That's a corollary issue here when we talk about the Good Samaritan. Did you see in verse 25 the question that this young expert in the law asked Jesus? He said, Lord, what must I do to have eternal life? This is a parable about how to have life, not just to be a good neighbor. If we have life, we'll be a good neighbor, won't we? If God has redeemed our souls, we're going to be like the Good Samaritan. And we're going to help, we're going to give to the church, we're going to earmark some for the Good Sam program. You realize we give away across the street on Tuesday morning, we gave away over $100,000 worth of need last year alone through the Good Sam program. We want to help, don't we? But the reason this parable is given, not just to cause us to want to help somebody out a little bit more than we do, but the expert in the law said, what must I do to have eternal life? Kind of absurd question if you think about it. He said, Lord, what can I do? What must I do to have eternal life? You and I can't do enough to have eternal life, can we? We can't build rocket ships to get us to heaven. We can't build ladders high enough to get us to heaven. So it's not what we can do to have everlasting life. It's what he can do in us and through us. So Jesus turns it around on him. Instead of Jesus saying, well, you got to repent. Jesus said, well, what is the law? What do you read? And he said, well, and he quoted from Deuteronomy and Leviticus. Well, you're supposed to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbors yourself. And Jesus said, you answered correctly. Good answer. But do you realize this morning, you and I, we could have... Or we could study theology 24/7 and not know the God of theology, not know the God we're studying. We can know the Bible from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation, and not know the God of the Bible. We can have the best doctrine and have a sound foundation, and our liturgies can be beautiful, and we can even have gone to seminary and have a PhD in religion and can design a beautiful 3-point sermon and not know the point. The point wasn't simply you got to love God and love your neighbor. The point is Jesus said, he turned it around. He said, all right, you go and do likewise. You do it. You want life? Then do that. Love God. Love God with everything and love your neighbors. You love yourself. Then you have life. Verse 36, Jesus turns that question around. He asks, who's my neighbor? And Jesus gives us the parable of the Good Samaritan. And then Jesus says in verse 36, who do you think was a neighbor? Do you see how he turned it around? It's more, we need to know who our neighbor is, and our neighbor's anyone, really, anyone in need, anyone, everyone around us. But that's not what Jesus wanted him to focus on. Jesus said, who was the neighbor? Have you been a neighbor? Well, Jesus said, who was the neighbor to the man who fell among thieves? Notice verse 37. The expert in the law said, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus said, yeah, go and do likewise. Everyone. All the time. How are we going to get life? How are we going to make it to heaven? You live like that. You love God with everything, every ounce of your being. Heart, mind, soul, strength. And you love your neighbors, you love yourself. You do that all the time. And you can have life. That's what Jesus told him. And I want you to notice, if you've got your Bible still open, there's a blank space right there before we get to verse 38. I kind of think he was like the rich young ruler in Mark 10, who said, same question, Lord, what can I do to have eternal life? And Jesus said, well, what's the commandments? And Jesus gave him six commandments. And he said, oh, I keep those. I've been doing those all my life. And Jesus said, one thing you lack. If you want to be perfect, sell everything you've got and give to the poor and then come follow me. See, Jesus was giving him the same answer. If you want life, then you got to be perfect. Love your heart, love God with everything you've got, and love your neighbors yourself, and then you can have life. Wow. Anybody in here love like that all the time? I mean, maybe we can love our spouse or our children like that most of the time, but how many of us love everybody like that all the time? We don't. So just helping out a neighbor and trying to do more is not going to balance the scale so you can get to heaven someday. Because what's Jesus saying? Well, let's look in Romans 10, verse 7, and then I'll be done. Paul teaches in Romans chapter 7, verse 10. He says, I found that the very commandments that were intended to bring me life actually brought death. God gives us his word. He gives us the law. And the law helps us to see what sin is. We look at the law and we look in the mirror and we see ourselves, don't we? And we see that we don't measure up. Romans 3 talked about how we've all sinned. And the wages of sin is death. I saw the law and it killed me, is what Paul said. I did. I had no hope. So the purpose, I think the main, you can talk to me later, but parables are for one main point. I mean, there are other things we can get from it, but the main point of this parable this day is in order to have eternal life, we have to love God and our neighbor perfectly. That young man, it seems like he walked away sad, just like the rich young ruler. Instead of in Luke 18, and here's where I think we need to get this morning. Jesus said there was a tax collector and a Pharisee that went to pray. And the Pharisee looked up and said, God, I thank you that I'm not like everybody else, especially this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of everything I have. And the tax collector wouldn't even look up, but he just beat himself on the chest and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, it's that man who went home redeemed that day because he called out for mercy. So Jesus is teaching us this parable, and he said, all right, you want life? Then say, Lord, forgive me. Have mercy on me and change me so that I can go out and start trying to live for you day by day by day by day. Lord, have mercy on me. The point of this parable is not to make us feel guilty because we're not helping the poor enough. We need to help the poor more than we do. That's not the point of this parable. The point of this parable is that we need to cry out for mercy because we're all sinners, we've all fallen, and we can't save ourselves. We have to depend upon the grace of God to come and change our lives from the inside out and give us everlasting life. And then we can go out and
and love God with all of our heart, because he will change our heart. He will change our spirit. He will put his Holy Spirit within us, and we'll be a new creation. We'll be redeemed by the power of Jesus Christ. And then we can love God. We can love our neighbor. Anybody want to call out for mercy today? Don't go out here and say, well, I'm going to do more good deeds. Don't say that first. First of all, I want to ask our praise team to come up and lead us in our closing song. First of all, cry out to God for mercy and say, God, I can't. I can't live like that. So therefore, I can't get eternal life. What must I do? I must call on the name of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Will you do that today? Let's stand for a word of prayer. Our altars are going to be open. And if you want me to pray with you, please let me know by just cupping and uplifting your hands. If you want to just come and give God thanks, if you just want to come and say, Lord, I need mercy and I need a whole lot of grace. Would you help me? Lord, thank you for your holy word. Thank you that through the music and through the proclamation of the word, Lord, you help us to see what we really need. That it's not just about us doing more stuff. Lord, you'll lead us. You'll lead us in that direction at the right time. But today, Lord, help us call out for mercy, because we want you to save us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.